the human being, the insan, his objective, maqsad, his objective of being created and born, only is to attain Allah Ta'ala's qurb, his nearness. Allah himself has explained this objective to man after he was born. After he came into this world, Allah Ta'ala said, your objective of being created is just one thing you have to do, and that is to attain my rada, my pleasure, my qurb, my nearness, and my muhabbat, my love. And for this purpose, we have to work hard, we have to make effort, we have to try hard, we have to have determination, we have to do mujahada, we have to fight against those who are against us, our enemies. And Allah Ta'ala has defined who the enemies are: the nafs and shaitan. Our nafs and the shaitan. And then Allah Ta'ala said that when you do this, then come back to me, and if you have done this, then you will be successful. And the promises I gave to you for paradise, Allah, your creator, will bestow this to you, give this to you in the hereafter. So Allah Ta'ala has given us this objective, this purpose for which we are here. Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the gracious Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for attaining this qurb, to attain the nearness of Allah, he gave us a lot of ibadat, worship actions. Every deed which takes a person close to Allah equals ibadah. Remember this. Every deed that takes a person close to Allah, it becomes ibadah. And every ibadah, it takes a person close to Allah. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave us many ibadat, many actions and deeds, just so that we can continue to get closer to Allah. And from those actions, one very great ibadah that Allah Ta'ala gave to us, and we know about this worship action, this deed, we do it, but we don't do that action the way it should be done. And the reason for this is that ibadah, it is connected to very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person does it. That ibadah itself automatically tells us that how much a human being has belief and faith in his Lord. When he does that ibadah more, then automatically, due to that ibadah, you realize, you can see that this person, that he has full faith and belief and conviction in Allah. It's a unique form of worship. And for that ibadah, Allah Ta'ala, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a human being does this ibadah, that immediately at that time Allah opens the doors of paradise. Allah opens the doors of His mercy, rahmah. Allah opens the doors of His ma'rifah, of His nearness. Allah opens the doors of His acceptance, qabuliyat. That's what this ibadah is. We are lazy and negligent on this action, then how sad. There's only one reason we're lazy, because there's a big defect in the human being. That he, when he leaves this ibadah, there can only be one reason. And the reason for that is he does, his yaqeen and belief in Allah is very weak. He believes he'll do sajda, and he'll do dua. He'll do tawaf, he'll do sajda, he'll do everything. But he hasn't done that dua, then in reality, it's because he doesn't have yaqeen. That's what Allah Ta'ala said about dua, for this ibadah, for this worship. And this ibadah is such that all ibadah, it is the root. You can say the foundation, or you could say even it's the essence. You're doing lots of things and things. But after that, if you don't do this ibadah, then in reality you've left it open-ended. Open-ended. Any ibadah you do, any action, but it's lazim, essential, that for that ibadah, that worship that you're doing, that with this ibadah you need to conclude it, that this ibadah that Allah Ta'ala has defined. It's a great, great action. And rather Allah Ta'ala has said with regards to this ibadah, that most of all close to Allah, power, powerful, in other words, value and appreciation is this action that we're discussing. So do you know what is that ibadah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us? What is that worship action? That is doing dua to Allah, asking Allah. Look, with regards to dua, what Allah Ta'ala has said. And great secrets and lots of hidden knowledge within this action. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't just give us one dua, he gave us treasures and so many duas he taught us and he gave to us. And if you look at every dua that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited and think that dua, it pulls a person, drags a person closer and closer to Allah. You get everything from dua. Any dua, if you pick it up and read it and look at the duas that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited, Allahumma jalni, indaka, walija, وَجَعَلِّي عِنْدَكَ زُلْفَ وَحُسْنَ مَعَاب. If we look at this dua, it's a very short dua, but such a fantastic dua of the Holy Prophet ﷺ that he taught to us, and we should be regular, and we should recite this regularly. It's very valuable. What did the Prophet ﷺ ask for? There's a condition here. Allah Ta'ala has said that whatever dua you ask for, I accept it, Allah Ta'ala says. Subhanallah. So when you ask from Allah, Allah make me a ghawth, then Allah says, I've accepted that dua. Okay, why don't we ask? I told you this, isn't it? Why don't we ask? What's the reason? Because we don't have yaqeen that Allah will make us the ghawth. If we had yaqeen, then Allah is saying, ask from me, أَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. You ask me immediately, I will give it to you. Immediately. And you want to become the ghawth of your time, the kutub of your time. You want to, don't you? Everyone wants to be pious. But we don't want to ask. Why? Because it won't be accepted, we think. Oh, how will my du'as be accepted, we think. Imagine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been very firm in this instruction that he who does not ask me and do dua to me, then he's what? Kibr. That, and his punishment is Jahannam. Tell me. And Allah Ta'ala is unhappy, my servant, why isn't he doing dua? Why is he not supplicating to me? Why is Allah unhappy? Because we are not doing dua. It's not that we don't do dua, because the reason Allah says, he doesn't have faith in me, he doesn't believe in me that I'll give to him. He doesn't believe. He doesn't have that faith. Look how deep that the reason of a person not doing dua. Why don't you do dua? That I want to be a ghawth. Why don't you do dua? That you want goodness. What is the dua that Rasulullah said? In this dua that Rasulullah has recited, that if we didn't have this, if it was impossible to get this, if we can't become this, then why would the Prophet of Allah recite this dua then? If we cannot become this, or if we cannot attain this, what a great lesson. For example, that, mashallah, you are pious, and I say, Allah, make me a ghawth. And if I say, how can I become a ghawth? How can I be pious? I don't pray salah correctly. I've got defects in my life. I do sins. I do this sin. Isn't this the case? Yes? Then how can it be I'll get this? But Allah Ta'ala says on the other side, that if I want, I can say, kun, be. And whoever has yaqeen on this dua, if Allah Ta'ala wants, he'll say, kun, let it be. So then I do dua. Allah says, I accept it. I accept you, 100% I accept you, alhamdulillah, 100% it's accepted because Allah said it. Adoni astajib lakum. And Allah said this in the Quran. The two decisions you need to make now. If Allah, na'udhu billah, is saying wrong to us, he's tricking us, just do dua for the sake of it. Is Allah tricking us and playing games with us? What's the benefit? Everything we look here on this subject, that how much we are munafiqs, hypocrites, straightforward. Straightforward. That we are big munafiqs, hypocrites. We are doing sajda, worshipping. When we finish salah, we run away after salah. Oh, do dua, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. We don't know what we're doing, what we're reciting. What I want, I'm not asking from Allah. What we need, what we desperately need of, we're not asking from Allah. If I want to become steadfast in salah, I don't ask. If I want my children to become kutab, I'm not asking Allah. Because I don't have yaqeen that they'll become good. Allah Ta'ala says, even if the thief asks me dua, Allah make me kutab. When he asks me, my Rabb is listening to me, I promise I will make him the kutab, the thief. The thief. It's Allah who will give the deliver the result. Straight away, Allah will pick him up. He'll send him to the company of his wali Allah. That's it. So if he goes into the sohbet, the thief, and he knows how he's going, what he is, and there are many waqiyah. There was a person, And with me, many events have occurred like this. Many events. And what happens, for example, when the shop is open, then the customers will come. Yes, so it's not my shop. This is the shop of Hazrat Ali Murtaza, rahmatullah alayhi, my sheikh. And I'm the salesman. I'm just the salesman. So how can the customer leave empty-handed? The shop was open in London. I remember an event. And where was it? In London, in the Khanka. Subhanallah. And the shop was open and the customers were coming. And there's one man, he came in. And he was wearing jeans and he had his hand here. And I looked at, I liked him. And I said, what's the issue? How come you come? He said, what's going on here? He said, I said, nothing's happening. What's going to happen here? I've come here and there are brothers there meeting me. We're doing dhikr of Allah and we do nice dhikr of Allah. I said, what's your ma'amala? What's your situation? He said, I was just walking past it and I saw people going inside and I just came in. What's going on here? Otherwise, I wasn't going to come in because I had a lot of pain in my teeth. Where? In his teeth. And he had his hand on his tooth. He said, I was looking for a dentist. And I was looking and I was walking. He said, when I saw, okay, let's see what's going on inside him. And I had a lot of pain, Hazrat. And I just by chance I came in and liked it, what I saw. That's it. That's it. Today if you see him, you cannot recognize him. That same man. Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah. He gave himself. He didn't go anywhere else after that. And so brothers, because it could be, maybe his mother did dua for him, that Allah make my son pious. And you're sat here now and I'm sat here. These are the effects of du'as definitely that we're sitting here. My grandfather, he was a great wali. Pious person, my grandfather. Great wali Allah in Hindustan. India of that time, mashallah, karamat of his, many karamat of his. Once what happened with my grandfather in Hindustan, India at that time, that he was a great personality. He had status, high status in society. He was a minister of his state. Subhanallah. And that was the Raja kingdom at that time. Hindustan stories, I'm telling you. So he was a Muslim and he was a strict Muslim and there was the Hindu Raj at that time and he had a big post, a rank. He was a minister for the Raja. And I'm talking about my grandfather, Darvesh. Subhanallah. And this is dua. Everything is about dua. So my grandfather, I didn't even know this story. My grandmother told me this. So people, they said to the Raja, they spoke to the Raja against my grandfather, that this person, you know, like people, they come in between, they were Hindus, and they used to live together, Hindus and the Muslims, and they said to the Raja, he's this, about my grandfather. He said, okay, we'll sort him out. And that was the time of the kings and the rulers, they were strict. He said, we will sort him out with a certain method. Cleverly. So they called my grandfather and they called him and said, the situation is that our elephant, that elephant you need to seal it. I want to see how can you tie it up, the elephant. And grandfather said, ooh, ajeeb. And people all there sat there in the court of the ruler the next day. And they didn't even given any food or drink to the elephant. I'm telling you a true, honest waqia. Look at the pious people, how the people who believe in Allah and how Allah assists. So, the next day, they all sat there looking at the drama, that how he's going to control the elephant. And he was in tahajjud during the night, my grandfather, mother told me, my daddy, and she said that my grandfather did what, I don't know about my life, but Allah, I want to elevate the standard and flag of Islam. Allah, please don't let Islam lose out in any way, in this example. So, in his heart came a point that recite Surah Yasin and go there, and the elephant itself will show you the game. So that's what happened. He put his jacket on, he put his clothes on, he was prepared, and the elephant was standing there. He said, go, and go and tie up this elephant, said the king, the ruler. And so he wanted to do this, and he wanted to see the game, and the Raj, because he was unhappy, so he was reciting Surah Yasin. He said, I was reciting Surah Yasin. And when I got there near to the elephant, you know, it has the trunk, and it lowered its trunk down onto the ground. Obviously, there's two objectives. Either it's going to hit with the horns, with its horns, it will pick up the man, or it will crush a person underneath the horns. So it bowed its head, and the horns, they came to the ground. He recited Surah Yasin, and when he put his hand out, then it submitted itself, and he understood, yes, there's peace now, there's peace. They submitted, and he's given it a hint that sit on top of me, the elephant. sit on top of me. So he lowered its head, the trunk, and its horns, and then my grandfather sat on it, and it raised my grandfather. And the elephant started to walk slowly. Where he had to tie it up, then he lowered its head and its horns, and he lowered my grandfather onto the ground. And then he put his hand and he took him into the cage and he went inside. All the Muslims, they shout, Nare Takbir, Allahu Akbar. So brothers, this is just an incident I wanted to share with you about my grandfather. So my grandfather, he kept my name, Subhanallah. My Nanaji kept the name and my grandfather kept the name. But shall I tell you another story now? Because you are my friends and colleagues, so I'll share you with another example. So I was my first child of my parents. The eldest. Now I'm telling you my history. Now remember the maqsad, dua. What is dua? So if you don't mind, shall I share with you or shall I not tell you? Subhanallah. So my father at that time was a magistrate in an Indian state. My father, he was a magistrate. And our family was like this, you know, in the high posts, high ranks. But fakiri, there was simplicity in our family. Humbleness, sincerity. So, I was the first child of my parents. And there was a place, Bayana, in India. I can't remember the exact name. And there, my father was posted. And it wasn't a big place, a big region. But there were doctors were far away. Medicine was far away. And I was close to being born, the delivery. And a pious elder passed by. A wali Allah. A friend of Allah. Passed by that region. Ajeeb point I'm telling you here. And when he passed by there, this wali Allah, obviously, he came to meet my father, and he was a wali Allah, and my father hosted him, sat him down, gave him food and drink and water, and he said, the wali Allah, the sheikh, Allah gives him kashf inspiration, there is a child about to be born in your home? Allahu Akbar. He said, yes, this is the case, yes, yes, alhamdulillah, very close, Allah is about to give us some good news, and it's my first child, and he's the useless child who's going to be born. He said, is it? Okay. He said, but be careful that when this child is born, a storm will come. A storm will come. And a storm will come when your child is born. And what you need to do, he said to my father, is you need to prepare everything fully. There'll be a dai, a doctor, everything medically you'll have prepared. But at that time, you'll get nothing. The light will go, the electricity will go, and you... with the lantern, the oil lantern, you won't even have the oil to put into the oil lamp, even if you want the light, and you will prepare as much as you can, but there will be issues. The child will be born in a unique way. But I'm telling you all of these things, this definitely will happen with him at the time of his birth. Anyway, he said, okay, let's see how that happens, my father said. He said, I'll prepare everything. And they did dua for me as well. They did dua, the child, the wali Allah, he did dua. And this is the effect of the dua. I'm telling you this. That never a human being, whenever he gets promotion, it's due to du'as. Taraqqi, promotion, advancement, everything we get in our life is due to du'as. Somebody's done du'a for you, or somebody, or you yourself had du'a, or from your mouth has come out, and it's the sabab, the result of the du'a, that a person goes towards the good. That's why it stated the mother and father's du'as get the du'as of the parents. That's why it says that Jannah is beneath the foot of the mother. Jannah, paradise. Most of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the treasures of dua, the results, the biggest treasure of dua, the biggest treasure for a man is his sheikh, is his teacher. Subhanallah. More than the mother and the father. More. So Allah ta'ala says that I've given you fountains. Go there, do the dua, and love somebody so that he also does dua for you. Or she also does dua. If I show you the maktubat, the writings of my sheikh when he wrote letters to me, the duas my sheikh made for me, you would be shocked and amazed to read them. And every dua of his is accepted. So I'm a child, and that's why today I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved today for due to his duas. That I never said to my sheikh, do dua for me. Two things. One is you can request. There's nothing wrong with requesting someone to do dua. But if a person, more beloved is that person automatically from his heart does dua for you without asking. This should happen, that person's forced to do dua for you. And it's not necessary that you hear that dua. Sometimes he does dua for you in the depths of his heart. From his actions, from his words. And we don't do this. We don't earn the du'as from people because we don't have yaqeen. Wallah, so much belief you should have in du'a. There's no greater thing than du'a that can give you benefit in this world. Allah Ta'ala says, there's no greater power in the world than the power of du'a. So when I was born, going back to the example, my father prepared doctor and the oil, boxes of oil, lanterns, all preparation. Allahu Akbar. But Allah Ta'ala, when He writes something, He's written it. And totally happened just like that. Suddenly when I was born, at that time there was nothing at that time. A storm came, a big storm, a typhoon, no doctor was there, no medical aid, no resources. Ajeeb situation, and there was nothing at that time to help us. And so my grandfather kept the name, my nana kept her name, my grandfather, because my grandfather was Buzurg, he said, no, his name will be Asif. His name will be Asif. Do you know what is the meaning of Asif in Arabic? It means Tufan, storm, fast winds, Asif. Allahu Akbar. In the Quran it's come in 2-3 places, this word, Asif. You will have heard this, read this, and the translation is this. So now I remember once another waqia here in Bolton. So somebody asked me, we were just talking, they said this and that, and you this and that, and you are this and that. He was saying things to me. So Alhamdulillah, who are you? He said, what are you? You're this and that. So I stayed quiet. I didn't reply. I just said one word, that I'm Asif. And Asif means storm. So I am the storm, Alhamdulillah. Remember this point, I said to him, I remember this point. Then that day I saw in the dream from the sky such a fast wind and the storm is erupting and everything is being taken by the storm. So my father, grandfather kept that in reality his nature will be like a storm. He'll create a storm in the world. He's such a person he will be. And he gave du'as. So the effect of the du'a takes place. And my name was such that was kept. If I want to, that I can't change it if I want to change it, because the effects of the name are with a person so much. So anyway, khair, this is an event I shared with you. So Allah Ta'ala says the closest to me is the action of dua. Subhanallah. Dua, the power in dua, and the amount that Allah Ta'ala says in dua, the ibadah, my qurb, my nearness is not present in anything else. And this is one thing we learn from here, because Iman is the name of Yaqeen. Remember this. Iman is the name of Yaqeen, belief, faith. And whoever has Yaqeen, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel, will he be scared of anything? Will he be scared of anything? Tell me. A person who has this, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, if someone recites this, will he be scared of anything? Tell me. When a person is not scared, then will he do haram actions? No. So our yaqeen is not present. That's why we are so far from such a great action about which Allah says, raise your hands, I will immediately fulfill your dua. And for us, because we have no yaqeen and conviction, Allah doesn't make us capable that we raise our hands and do dua. Otherwise, such a fantastic action. Dua, we are such people that if we know that you can achieve your dua, just like your mother and father served them so much to earn their dua. To earn the dua of the parents. Do such khidmat that your mother yourself puts your hands on your head, and do dua. And there's love, she puts her hands on your head. For one reason, even if you don't, she'll do dua for you. But when there's love, and you earn the love, and earn the dua of the mother, then you see the effect of the dua. Earn the dua of the father. What do? Mother and father, we get their badduas, their curses. We argue with them. We quarrel with them. We dispute with them. Anyway, this is another subject. Everyone has his own situation. With regards to this, so this is the fact that the fountain where we can earn du'as, they are sealed, closed to us today. What du'a we do ourselves today, we even stopped doing du'a ourselves today. Every du'a, the fountain, the nur, where does it end? Every action, it is summarized in du'a, because you've done such a good action. Allah says, ask from me such good ibadah you've done. What don't you ask from me, Allah says. So remember this point, that du'a that I was saying to you, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he did dua. Just one dua is enough and it's accepted most definitely. If we do this dua, if I ask this dua myself and somebody asks this dua for me, then tell me what else is left then after that. Allahumma jalli indaka walija. Walija, the meaning of this, the tarjuma, the walija, Arabic word, and it is a unique word. And the meanings of this, the Holy Prophet, and what word he has utilized, that Allah, that make me walija. What do you make me, Allah? Make me walija. What is walija? The Allah Ta'ala, we are saying, oh Allah, make us walija, is that person, the definition, the meaning, walija is termed that person, that make such a man who without any formality, he's coming and going, no formalities. In other words, he's got open permission, he can come in and out of your house as much as you want. And that person, he holds your secrets. He holds your secrets, and he's very close to you. That's the walija. Yes, open permission. And he also listens to what you say. Tell me how many good qualities have come in. So what's he saying? The Holy Prophet is doing this dua, that Allah, make me your walija. Oh Allah. That every moment I come and go, I'm near to you, and you are listening to what I'm saying, and there's no barrier between us, and I'm close to you and getting closer to you, and the love between us is increasing as well. Allahu Akbar. When you do this dua, Allah Ta'ala says, accepted, subhanallah. Immediately, and whoever says Allah doesn't accept it, then he doesn't have belief. When this dua is accepted, then tell me what maqam of tasawwuf you will attain at that time. But we don't ask this dua from Allah. Why? We don't have yaqeen. We don't believe that Allah will accept this dua. We say it's impossible. That we can be walija. Totally 100% correct. The dua is such a thing that it will make the impossible, it will make it possible. The impossible will be made possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith that there's nothing that can change the destiny. Yes, if there's one thing, then dua can change the destiny. Dua can change the destiny. Dua can alter the destiny. That when a person is in a problem, difficulty, sadness, sorrow, he's immersed in a calamity and does dua to Allah, dua is accepted immediately. And Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam drew the sketch of that. The dua goes up to the sky, goes to the heavens, and the reply comes back down, so that, if he's sick, he's upset, he's got problems, whatever there is, balai comes from upstairs, from up top. We do dua, then it goes to the heights, and then the dua catches the situation that was descending, that you cannot go down to the world, you cannot reach that man. And that he's about to have an accident, the human being. Look here. Look about dua, I'll tell you now. That such a valuable action, as Arifi Rahmatul Alayhi, I'll share with you his statement. That so valuable is dua, that when we do dua, that we have made it restricted doing dua in the world today, reciting duas, we've restricted this action of dua. How? Just after salah, do dua. After Quran, read dua. Is it? After nafil, do dua. These are the times when we do dua, isn't it? That we've done a big action, do dua. Khatam, do dua. Khatam Bukhari, do dua. Dua is accepted. Ramadan, do duas. After fasting, dua. What is this? Is that it? Such a great action. And we restrict the dua to certain times of the year and the day. That Allah Ta'ala has given us a great resource and we use it like this. And Hazrat Arifi said, this is not the method of doing dua. The method is whatever action you do, do dua for that action. Whatever. For example, you are outside, you are going to sit in your car, you say, Allah, I'm going into my car, be Allah, look after me, don't let an accident happen, if it's about to happen, look after me. End of story. That's your dua, it's gone upstairs. You sit in the car, Allah, take me to my destination, because there's no capability in the car, do dua, Allah, in the way, don't give me an accident, and with khair, Allah, goodness, let me get there on time. End of story. That's the dua. In other words, every single action of life, assign it, hand it over to Allah. And a great connection is made then with Allah. That no ibadah are you waiting for, you don't get closer to Allah than any ibadah, than compared to dua. Dua. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, this is the way we need to look at a point I've just shared with you, this point, yeah? So this is dua. Don't do dua all in one go, in one time, because not for a second can we trust what's gonna happen. We don't even know if we're gonna be able to blink the next eyelid. I don't know if I'll be able to leave after I've come here. I don't know. I may slip here or might become disabled or sprain my feet. Anything. Immediately, Allah Ta'ala says, the most beloved action I like is that you ask me for afiyah. Ask me for afiyah. Why? Because from all sides you're surrounded, stupid man. You don't know. Jinnat, shayateen, magicians, hasid, envious people, jealous people, sicknesses, problems, difficulties. Your own sins are a calamity. We can't see them, can we? The all four sides are surrounded. Badbakhti, wretchedness, and ruined our amal, our deeds, the darkness of our deeds.
our lying, our disobedience. What do we know? All of these wretched things, the zulamat that we're sealed within these things, oppression, we don't recognize what is our hal. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, the most beloved and best dua that I think is you ask me for afiyah, goodness and well-being, that's enough for you. And then you'll be free from all the darkness around you. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Do you understand my point or you don't understand what I'm saying? So this is what we need to ask for, afiyah from Allah, to Allah. Ask for afiyah. Just one thing. Ask Allah for afiyah, for goodness. The most precious dua of yours will be ask Allah for afiyah. You wake up, Allah, you woke me up. Allah, look after me during the day. Allah, give me good health so I can do all the things I want to today. You're going to eat food. You're going home to eat food. When you go food to eat food today, Allah, I'm going home. Allah, send me home with khairiyat. May there be no fighting, quarreling my children. May they not disrespect me. Allow me to eat, Allah, with peace at home. Allah, don't give me anything at home that gives me distress and sadness. Do this dua and go into your house. Everything assigned to Allah will be accepted. All your du'as will be accepted. Whatever's about to come, calamities, Allah will remove them. Do you have yaqeen or I've just said or not? Tell me. But we only do that when you have yaqeen in Allah. Only you will do this. That Allah is my Malik, my Khalik. He gives rizq, He gives wealth, He gives sickness. He takes the sick people out of hospital. He sends people to hospital. He gives life, He gives death. He gives everything in this world to us. Wherever you say this, Allah, give me the means. But we don't, Allah, we will do the actions, but we believe you will give us the resources. Allah, you give us the resources. Corona comes, you put the mask on, the resource. Allah, I'm put on a mask on. Allah, you are the one who will protect. I don't have yaqeen in the mask. Let my breath come in and out and quickly get us away from these masks and these restrictions. So who do you ask dua to? Allah. Allah, resources doesn't mean forget Allah. Allah says, use the means. Man goes to hospital. Inshallah, it'll be khair. I'm going to go to hospital. Doctor's going to come. He's a very good doctor. He's going to do my operation. In the morning, doctor said he did the operation wrong and the man died. These things happen. So I can show you men that went to do operation. Poor soul. Operation went wrong. They're at home. Lie down. The operation was wrong. Doctor did the wrong thing. And he sat in the bed at home, sleeping on the bed. But we have the yaqeen in the doctor, big doctor, technician, physician. We paid him private medical aid. And after all of this, what happened? That from my mouth it didn't come out. Allah, my Mawla, you give your fadl. You gave the doctor, you gave medicine. I'm going to do medicine. Allah with khairiyat, bring me back from the operation. We don't say these words from the mouth. We don't say these things. So everything, you go to drink water, you're picking up the water. Allah, make this water good for me. May not be that it gives me some disease, illness. Allah, make it good for me. End of story. Everything, shaitan's in water as well. Yeah, there are diseases, there are calamities. Even in the drinking a glass of water. So dua is such a thing. Allah has opened a door. Open the doors of paradise for you, Allah says. And acceptance, the doors of acceptance will open. The doors of my qurb will be open. The doors of my rahmah will be open for you, Allah says. Rahmah. Mercy. This is dua. So, baliyya. Allah, the baliyyat. Small dua. Look at this. The Allah make me such a servant of yours that I keep on coming in. Walija. I keep on seeing you and meeting you and I do my actions. My dua is accepted. And Allah make my situation such that we become people who just like we know each other so well. Walija. Allah, so that I don't have any formality that between me and you, that I'm not scared of you, nor do you think that I'm far from you. And me and you are so close, just like a friend who comes and meets when you're down and out. You go and meet a person who you have confidence in, who you know. He says, that's it. I just want to do mashru with you. And that Allah makes such a connection between me and you, so I'm your walija. Like a friend. Subhanallah. Why did Rasulullah say do this dua, recite this dua? Because maybe it can happen. But from millions, only one man will do this dua. The 100% this will happen, but only from a million a person. The Rasulullah taught us this dua, and I've shared this dua with you. There are thousands of people today who've heard this dua. If you don't know in Arabic, then say in Urdu. And then say on top of that, the indaka, walija indaka, zulfa. What is that? So much qurb and nearness about the Allah. Give me that qurb, that nearness to you, that closeness to you. Make me so close that the ghaus and the qutb, this is the similar habit of this, isn't it? That you say, why did Rasulullah say this dua? The ghaus, are you going to do the dua after becoming a ghaus? Allah make me a ghaus.
What is that situation? First you say, Allah, make me a ghost. When you make me the ghost, then I'll do the dua after. Allah, make me pious, and I'll do the dua after. You do the dua for what you don't have, then you get that afterwards, isn't it? Straightforward. Say, Allah, give me Jannah, don't give me a small Jannah, make me the high Firdaus, and give me Qurba, and the nearness to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah. Who is telling us this? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us this. That do this dua. Why do you ask for wasteful things, small things? If you will get it, then obviously you'll do that dua. And alhamdulillah, those who have these things in their mamulad, walking, talking, sitting, standing, evening, morning, daytime, they know the best way to get close to Allah is dua. And successful in akhirah, most of all will be those people who do duas the most. Zola says that he had most yaqeen in me, he did the duas the most, that my Rabb is there, he created me, he listens to me, and he gives to me. And he gives to me. Despite me being a sinful person, very sinful person, I've got defects and problems, but still I ask Allah and he gives to me. Allah says, even without you asking, I'll give to you. Do the kuffar do dua? No. So they get as well. But what things do they get? Those things, just like there's a child, he asks you, give me toys, and the child is crying, and you give the child such a toy that after a while it will break. After a few days, you know, like the balloon, it bursts, then he cries again, the child. You'll see this, a little kid, baby, and he's saying, give me something, you give the balloon, when it bursts, then it cries. Why are you crying? Why is it burst? Give me another one. Then you give another one to the child, after a few hours, it will burst again, it will cry again, the child. Then why are you giving it again? I remember this, that I was coming, and I remember children, little small things, examples, because I observed things. So there was a brother and sister, he was young, the boy and the sister was older. And the boy was saying to the sister, give me mithai. She was eating the sweets. And what'd she do? She'd trick him and she'd give him the bitter sweet. He says, give me bitter, it's bitter. He was screaming, this is bitter. Why you not give me the sweet one, the sweet one? And then she'd trick him and give him the bitter sweet again. And then he'd scream again. So that's our situation as well. Similar. Allahu Akbar. That Allah Ta'ala, we should ask from Allah. Allah will immediately give us that thing. Immediately he'll give us to us what we're asking. Allah's treasure chest, there's nothing lacking. He'll make you ghost tomorrow, me a kutub tomorrow, Allah make me abdal. Do you think Allah's lacking in these things giving to us? So what I was saying, that the disbelievers, they don't ask, Allah gives to them, but what does Allah give to them? Bitter things. Bitter sweets, and Allah gives them balloons so they burst. Because the dunya is a balloon. House, shops, big car, and give him everything. Give them luxuries and machines and planes. But what all these things are? Artificial balloons. Just like a dream Allah gives to them. But the moment when he asks, Allah gives them solid things. Jannah, paradise. So, for example, you say, Allah, give me a nice wife, Allah. You do dua, wife comes and she is not pious, she is strict and firm and arrogant. Allah, I did dua for pious, but dua is accepted. Allah says, this is dunya. Here I gave you a balloon so you can practice. Your dua is accepted and Jannah, she will become a hoor. Your hoor is already waiting. And this is not the real result. Even then the dua is accepted. Say, Subhanallah. Some people say, I did dua, why did my marriage happen here? But today they understand that your dua was accepted. In replacement for that dua you made, that you won't get the hoor. The dua, the hoor you will get in the hereafter. And here, this woman was better for you. She will make you a good human being in this world. She will crush your nafs. She will train you. She will make sure you are good in the world. So don't leave her. That she also came to you due to your dua. Allah gave you her in this world. Say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So after this, whoever gets a tawfiq to do dua, is there any lack of yaqeen after this when we learn this? But we don't do the dua. Why? Because we believe in Allah. We accept Allah. We accept Allah, but we don't believe in the words of Allah. This is the reason. So Allah says, when our Rabb says that, ask me, plead to me, I listen to you and I give to you. Allah Ta'ala says that most of all, I'm unhappy most of all with that person. Listen to this as well. Allah says, I'm angry and happy most of all with that man, that he knows he will find out in Jannah because he didn't do dua to me. He's mutakabbir, that person. He has no yaqeen in me. He doesn't believe in me. He has no conviction. He does ibadah. He just quickly wipes his hand on his face and runs away. Who did you do this ibadah for, Allah Ta'ala says? Who did you do the sajda for? Who did you prostrate to? Who did you do all of this dhikr for? Who did you do tilawat of Quran for? Who did you recite Quran for? For thawab?
For that, Allah says, that is all secondary. What you realize is if you did these actions for Allah, raise your hands and say first, even if you didn't raise your hands in your heart, you don't have to put your hands up necessarily, but in your heart you should definitely say, Allah, I'm grateful you made me read Quran. This is your karam, your fadal. Allah, sawab, please give me all the sawab and the barakah for this what I've just done, Allah. Please give it to me. And then you'd realize that what is the Quran you read? Then this Quran will continue to your generations, to your nasals after you, and the barakah will come through your lives. Look, this, my grandfather did dua for me, and Allah made me namazi. My grandfather did the dua, Allah made me namazi. It's his dua that Allah, and that he will make the storm erupt in the world, and he will spread the deen. He's my grandfather, and this is how the grandfather. That's why he says that ask the pious people and the elders for the name, because the muhabbat and the love comes into that person. This is it. So Allah Ta'ala increases the yaqeen. Dua increases the yaqeen in our Rabb. Dua is a great action. So Ramadan, tazkiyah. Will the Ramadan leave this topic of tazkiyah? No. So it gave us a complete ashra, that in this ashra, just do dua and no other action. And it's taught us the adab of duas, that the more you go into isolation and you're alone, secluded, and you desperate, and you plead to Allah, and consider Allah your friend and your assistant, and you detach yourself from the world and say La, and you come to Allah and do dua, the more Allah will bestow to you and give to you. And such rewards Allah will give to you, subhanAllah, the Laylul Qadr Allah will give to you. Allah will give to you. And there's such a reward for what? That I'm telling you from my knowledge and my passion. What's this? This is the reward of dua, Laylatul Qadr. So in this ashra, we need to be desperate and immensely in high quantity to dua. Which isolation? Not the isolation of what we think. Such an isolation that in our heart, there should be Allah and nobody else. That's the isolation. That is maraqabat. Maraqabah. In the heart. For which you have to go to a wali Allah Hazrat, teach me maraqaba. So that I can do right duas, so that Allah is there, nobody else. I'm in maraqaba, and I'm pleading to Allah, and in maraqaba I am pleading to Allah, I'm putting my needs to Allah. 10 days, Allah says, do practice of this. 10 days, and the person detaches himself from the dunya, but the person was sunk in the dunya, Allah picked him up. It's lazim Allah makes this ibadah. Allah picked him up, put him in itikaf. After seating him in itikaf, Allah says, you have no akal, that you could have gone to a sheikh, a teacher, you had no need to come here. All year long you could have continued in maraqabah. All year long you would have been in itikaf. That in the dunya even he sit down, they do itikaf, those people. Then in the dunya, in the world, this is the definition of itikaf. The main definition of itikaf is detach yourself from the dunya and attach yourself to Allah. So the dunya, you don't detach it from your body, because you're living in the dunya. It's your heart you need to detach. Your heart from the dunya. When the heart is close to the dunya, or the heart is far from the dunya. You have to train it to do this. That the love of the dunya comes in the heart, and the detachment from the dunya also comes in the heart. That, for example, mashallah, you see many people, they'll find them, they love you. But does his heart love you or not? Ask this question. Yes. That there'll be many people that say to you, I love you, I like you. But what you need to see, does his heart love you or not? That's the determining factor. Yes. The heart, does it love you? So Allah Ta'ala is khabir and basir. Allah Ta'ala knows. It's hard for us to recognize people, but Allah has given you the measurement stick. Allah says, I don't look at his face, I look at his heart. I look at his heart. I look at his face. Is he crying? The drama, deception. Allah says, I don't look at this. I look in his heart for who he is crying. How much love does he have in his heart for he who is crying for? Or is he deceiving the world? So the people say, I'm a big man, I'm pious, I read Quran, I'm crying. When I pray Salah, I'm crying. If a person is crying during Imamat, then does he ever cry when he's alone and praying Salah? Show me that person then. Yes, why does a person cry when he's in front of other people? I don't understand this. When he's in seclusion, alone, this is, you should be hiding your crying. Shouldn't be showing off in front of people. Say, subhanAllah. That crying, mehboob, this is the secret between the human being and his Rabb. That apart from my crying, my tears, I don't want anyone to see, oh my mehboob, Allah, I only want you to see my crying and my pleading. We say, Alhamdulillah, we're crying in Salah. What is this? Kullu walawad crying and kullu walawad in Salah. The same verse you start crying. What's this? I don't know what that person is crying about. Now, I'm not criticizing anyone here, but principally I'm talking here, though why should we cry? What does Allah Ta'ala see? Not the faces and the tears. Allah says, I look at the heart of that person. The heart of that person.
That's what I look at, the heart of the person. Yes, a person cries from reciting nicely in salah, in dhikr. A person does cry, becomes emotional. Sometimes in dhikr, the words come out, the name of Allah comes out. And this is emotional. Hal, this is called. Hal. Not just that, that people should hear, but rather in isolation more. Rather he should cry more and more, that he cannot control himself when he's alone. Alone. There you have to control yourself when you cry, so that people don't see you crying too much. And you should, when a Hazrat Sahib said, control your hal when you're in the public. Don't expose yourself and show yourself to people. Control yourself. Why are you making yourself zahir at that time? Why? So that nifaq doesn't come, so hypocrisy doesn't come. So you don't do show. If you want to love, get up in isolation. Remember Allah, do dhikr in isolation, be alone. Let the current come out, shriek out, cry out. And Allah will say, yeah, this is the enjoyment, my servant. And there when people were sleeping and dozing in salah and dhikr, when people come and we're reciting the verses, we're crying, you're spoiling other people's salah as well. Say subhanallah. Extreme islah a person is in need of. Yes, these are those people those people who haven't gone, put their hand in the hand of a sheikh, these are those people who show off. I'll tell you the honest truth there. So this is the big point we need to learn this. What's the point we need to learn? What's the thing we've learned today? What's the greatest action? Dua. And what's this ashra, the final 10 days Allah has given Ramadan for? Dua. This is Allah says, come into a seclusion. Does the Naqshbandi need this? Alhamdulillah. He's got maraqaba in his heart. He's detached already, but we don't have yaqeen ilallah, that we don't believe that maraqabah will give us success. All year long, Allah says, you've sat down now in the final ashra, you need itikaf, and I'm giving you the practice, Ramadan says, of what? That this darwish, where he does maraqabah, for the rest of the year, you will get itikaf, sit with him in maraqabah. All year long he's in itikaf, and he will teach you such itikaf. The hair itikaf says, I left you, you left your wife, children, you sat in the corner of the masjid, you can't leave the masjid, you can only go to the toilet, and there's restrictions. But my darwish, the wali Allah, will teach you such maraqbah, you can continue to live in the world, and you will be in itikaf at that time. And when you don't be lazy from your heart, detached from your heart at that time. That's the condition. As a Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi, said, that it was, there was a person, he was a businessman selling his goods, and I stopped there at that time. Junaid Baghdadi, Ramdar Sayyidu Taifa, great sheikh, who knew the depths of the heart, he read the hearts. Kashful Qulub and Kashful Qabool as well he was. Junaid al-Baghdadi, he said, I stopped there, and in his heart I saw a weird thing. He said, I saw a weird thing. The people are coming, the customers, he's selling and buying. And he had so many customers, so many goods he sold. And I saw his turnover, and I saw the man, La talakum tijaratun, that I understood the verse at that time, that Allah Ta'ala says, the business or children or dunya doesn't stop the walis of Allah, they're immersed in the dhikr of Allah at that time. He said, the more customers came, more than that, his heart was doing dhikr of Allah at that time. Not for a second did I see that his heart was lazy from dhikrullah. Look, that is maraqaba. That is itikaf now. Do you understand what is itikaf? He has sat in the corner and he left his shop, left his children. No. Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Nabi Sunnah is this. Work and remember Allah at the same time. As Aisha radiallahu anha said, Sumana qulu ayani. All situations, our Nabi, every second, whether he was with me, away from me, in the house, with his wives, eating food, but one hal he was in. Qulu ayani. Every time he was immersed in the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah. That my husband, his heart remembered Allah always. My husband was like this, said Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. She was proud about her husband. Imamul Anbiya, she was his wife. Was she some minor individual? Subhanallah. So my brothers, this is what we need to learn. But we don't have value and qadr for these actions. We run away from dhikr, run away from majalis, we run away from the khanka. Be grateful to Allah. Millions of times be shukr to Allah that at least He's pushed and shoved us and sat us down here. Be grateful to Allah. So brothers, itikaf that is happening. The itikaf in Ramadan is making us practice a great action. And the essence of that is tazkiyah, purification. Allah is pushing and shoving us. Go to Wali Allah, meet him, the sheikh, and improve yourself. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq for this. Ameen.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil alamin. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina Muhammad. یا اللہ ہماری ساری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما، یا اللہ ہم سب کی بخشش فرما، ہمارے بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما، پریشان حالوں کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما، بے اولادوں کو اولاد نصیب فرما، یا اللہ جن کی شادی نہیں ان کی شادی فرما، یا اللہ ان کے گھروں کو آباد فرما، یا اللہ تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہماری تمام دعاؤں کو قبول فرما۔ وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین۔